online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today, I have with me another guest from Hawaii. Her name is Rosemary Goto. In January, when I started the series of interviews around spirituality and Reiki, one of the things that was very important for me was to be able to have interviews with people with many different backgrounds and sometimes different religious beliefs. One of the things that Hawaii Otakata always said was, Reiki, it doesn't matter what religion or if any religion that you practice, Reiki goes with any religion, and it isn't a religion. It's not a religion, it's a practice. And that was an interesting process for me because in the beginning of my practice, I then didn't think about it as being something spiritual. I only saw it as a physical healing practice. And, of course, in the years as I've gone on, I've learned that one of the many gifts that Reiki has brought to me is understanding that I am spirit and that one of my tasks in this life is to imbue everything I do with spirit, meaning that I bring everything of myself to each moment of my life, each decision, as best I can. And that's the most operative word, as best I can, because sometimes if I'm not myself, like when I'm upset or angry or worried, I don't bring all of myself. I bring only the part of me that is there when I'm angry or when I'm worried. So one of the things that is very beautiful today with our guest Rosemary is that her family is from Hawaii. She has a long history of Reiki in her family, and also her background, what I would call religiously, is most like, I think, my grandmother than any of the people that I have interviewed so far. So one of the nice things is that there is a special quality, I think, of the Japanese Americans who were born and raised in Hawaii and who have this cultural blend, which has to do with religion but also has to do with culture itself. So, Rosemary, with that very long introduction, welcome to the program.
Hi, Phyllis. I feel very honored to be talking to you, my grandmaster, in this manner. So thank you very much for having me on the program.
Oh, you're welcome. It's our pleasure. So, of course, one of the very first things we all want to know is to hear your story of how you came to Reiki.
Okay. Actually, 10 years ago, I was reintroduced, because I had Reiki in my life for a very long time, and I didn't really realize this. But 10 years ago, I was introduced to Reiki. Someone asked me if I'd like to take the class, and without hesitation or without many questions, I just said, sure, because Reiki has always been familiar to me in my life, and so I've been practicing Reiki for 10 years, but I try to recall when I first remembered Reiki, and I guess it was in my childhood. I remember incidents where my mother would tell me, she never told me I was Reiki trained or I was Reiki trained in level 2 or level 1. She just would do things like, oh, you have a hurt knee or a toothache, come here and I'll Reiki it. And that's how I grew up with Reiki. I thought it was a natural thing that all mothers did. And so this is my natural way that I came into Reiki. So when the class came along and the training came along it was very natural for me to just say yes, because I've always had this in my life.
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't until just recently that I'm finding out that my husband also had Reiki in his life. And we never even talked about this until he got Reiki trained about 7 years ago. And then as we went down this our lives, you know, doing Reiki a lot, then we started talking about his parents. And we're finding out that his parents were also Reiki trained. In fact, they were Reiki trained by your grandmother, Hawaii Takata, at their home in Aiea. She had come over just to train my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. And so that's how we found out. We're surrounded with Reiki. Our parents had Reiki. And
wow.
Now my husband and I have Reiki. And just recently, my son, my younger son, I have two sons, and my younger son had torn his Achilles tendon. And as soon as he had done that, and before going into surgery, my Reiki master, Gene Ferris, was in town. So he says, could I sign up for that class? And I said, are you interested in Reiki? Because we never promoted it. We just used it in the home. And so he says, yes, I'd like to have Reiki. And so he got Reiki trained. And then my second son, who lives in Portland, finding all of this out, says he didn't want to be left out, and he wants to be Reiki trained. So eventually we have three generations of Reiki trained. We are truly a Reiki family. And this extends out to cousins and relatives. And we were counting up the other day, and we have over 12 people in the immediate family that got Reiki trained within the last 10 years. And so it's been held from our parents, and it's certainly been held with all of us now. So that's how I came into Reiki and how Reiki has been in my family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious about your parents or your father. Was knew about Reiki, and was that through also through Hawaii Takata or through somebody else?
You know, I don't know how my father was, if he was Reiki trained or knew about Reiki, but he was a Buddhist minister.
Uh-huh.
In Hawaii, in a very small rural town in Kona at that time, coffee farming town.
Right.
And this is right after the World War II.
Uh-huh.
So it was very common that at the temple in Kona,
uh-huh.
Many, many people came to visit us. And we had, you know, martial arts people from Japan staying with us for an extended time.
Mm-hmm.
And then teaching like Aikido to the community.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was a beautiful Tohei sensei who was the foremost
wow.
Aikido master staying
exactly.
with us. And then we had some Tibetan priests stay with us, and we had all kinds of interesting people. And I will not be surprised if your grandmother had traveled from Hilo to Kona and needed a place to stay and to teach and indeed stayed with our family. And taught there. I wouldn't be surprised. And
that's
so,
beautiful.
Uh-huh, because that's the way that the rural temples were at that time.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And so my dad, even being a Buddhist minister, he was very liberal in that sense that he was open. He was
mm-hmm.
open to many of these modalities.
Mm-hmm.
So as I got Reiki trained, he was very encouraged with that and very supportive.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that maybe some of the listeners might be interested in, and certainly I am too, I don't know if you can answer the question, but somehow, when I think of Buddhism, especially because Tibetan Buddhism is so in the forefront of people's understanding of Buddhism these days, minister doesn't seem really to be a word or a position that people associate with Buddhism. It's more like a priest or a lama or whatever. And I know Buddhist minister, this phrase, because of my own family, and they're going to, like, the Jodo mission or whoever, you know, whatever Buddhist sect that they go to. So I'm just wondering, could you sort of describe this position for me?
Oh, you mean the sect that my father belonged to?
Well, more like, what is a Buddhist minister as opposed to, not opposed, but in relationship to, you know, I often think about Buddhist priests because, I don't know, somehow that's where my brain is. Or in the Tibetan Buddhist practice, of course, there are lamas and there are other titles that don't include ministry. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll try to explain it from my understanding.
Okay. Well, there's it's better so than a shot in the dark for me.
Okay, here goes.
Okay, good.
There are many, many types of Buddhists in the world.
Yes.
And there are two big strands. I guess we'll come back to this question.
We will. So it's time for our first station break, and we're going to interrupt Rosemary right now. It's a question, and come back to it after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. You want your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. My guest today is Rosemary Goto. She's from Honolulu, Hawaii, and is a part of a family that has known Reiki from just after World War II up to the present, and including her sons, who are just starting to practice Reiki. The question that I asked Rosemary just before break was to enlighten us, if I may use this word, or to give us an understanding about what this phrase, Buddhist minister, means. Because the Japanese Buddhist practice is, in my feeling, though it comes from the same inspiration of this person we call Buddha, the expression of Japanese Buddhism is quite different than, for instance, Tibetan Buddhism. So, Rosemary, you were going to answer my question?
Yes. I'll try very hard. It's a,
okay.
It's a
whatever
huge
you
question.
Can say, we'll be good.
Okay. In the Buddhist tradition, there are two main branches, two big branches. One is called Mahayana Buddhism, and the other is Hinayana. Hinayana is the Zen practices where the priests are celibate. You find this in the Tibetan Buddhism, the Zen Buddhism, where meditation is a huge part of the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Mahayana Buddhism. And Mahayana, which my father was part of, this strain, actually his strain is called Shinshu, which comes from Japan. It's a Japanese Buddhism. Requires no meditation.
Uh-huh.
We do not meditate. It's not part of our practice. And it's really a practice of being the most human person you can live and being grateful, sincerely grateful for being in this life just as I am. So we do not have a meditation practice.
Mm-hmm.
And why I think perhaps many people are familiar with the Zen Buddhism is because that's what was brought to the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s, the early 60s,
right.
There was a lot of meditative practices,
yes.
And Zen practices. Yes, so people are familiar with that, and people have gone into that and are doing that now. Mahayana Buddhism is very different. Like I said, no meditation. So, you know, when it first came to Hawaii, it took the nuances of a Christian church. And so we have pews in our temple, and, you know, we sing gathas that sound like Christian hymns. It's very Western Christian-like,
uh-huh.
In its nuances and its outside. And so that's the kind of Buddhism that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So there are practices in our Buddhism. I remember as a child, we'd get up. I came from a family of seven, and we were all required to sit with my father and chant every morning and every night. And, I hated this. We were required to do that from the time
right,
we
exactly.
talk. Yeah, so we did have a lot of practices that the family went through,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a meditative practice. So these priests are allowed to have families, and
mm-hmm.
so it's very different from the Hinayana branch. That's
uh-huh.
the basic difference. And so, you know, most of the Western world is familiar with the meditation Zen branch, Hinayana.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if that cleared up something for you. But
it really helps me a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so,
and I've gone to, like, for my father, who was, of course, born in Hawaii, and my grandmother and, you know, my other relatives who were all from different Japanese Buddhist practices, because there are many of them that I'm familiar with. We have services every year for them around their date when they've died. And
right.
We go and we chant and pay respects to our relatives, to the people who have come before us in gratitude for their being alive and for my own life.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So that's the chanting is very, very interesting. And I'm, let's see, I've done my service for my father now for about 6 years straight. And then, of course, my aunt died in the meantime, and she is also, so we share this service between my father and my aunt, who has a sister, and we go and chant, and now I'm getting used to the chanting, which is really
cool. My husband loves the chanting. He goes every morning to chant.
And would you say that the chanting part of it is something like a meditation, or is it really about more like prayer?
It is about the meditation, according to my husband. You know, it brings him to a different place, a chance. And so that's why he loves it so much. I don't love it so much, so I don't go every morning. So I grew up with it, so.
Right, exactly. That does happen. You either learn to love it or you steer away from it. So when Reiki comes into your life, then how does this come together inside of you? The Reiki practice and the Buddhist way of living.
You know, like I said, well, Reiki and just side by side. I mean, it's there. It's part of my life. It's not something special that I have to go out and do or practice every day. Or, you know, it's just I just naturally use Reiki all the time. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual, the Buddhist part of my life, I really feel like, you know, it's not something that I had chosen in my life. I was just born into it, literally. And so it's not something that, okay, it's time to meditate or it's time to, you know, do my chanting or it's time to. It's nothing separate. It's just part of me and my everyday life. So so when Reiki came into my life, I felt like it was such a natural thing that it needed to be there. Yes, so it's very complimentary. It causes no conflict. Yes.
Well, one of the things that was said to me early on in my teaching, which I really appreciated, because as a young master, and this was after my grandmother died, I was sort of put on the spot a lot by people saying, "Well, what is the benefit of Reiki if you're healthy?" You know, like, because we were all into it being a healing practice, and not very. She didn't talk directly about it being connecting with spiritual essences or anything, but she did communicate that somehow. I'm not quite sure how, but we all got it. So one of the things that I would like to know when we come back from this break is to just talk a little bit about this with you and see if this is your experience also.
Okay.
So this is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back very shortly with our next segment.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ladies, what are you willing to do to live the life of your dreams? Are you willing to start today? If your answer is yes, even if you are just mildly curious, you've got to tune in to Wise Divas with life coach and host Teresa Proctor each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Women's Radio Network. Start living your wildest dream today. Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And during the break, Rosemary and I were sort of reviewing this last bit that I was trying to get to, so I'll start again. When my grandmother taught Reiki, she was very clear in the sense that she knew what she wanted to impart. She did it in a way that was with a lot of emphasis. And with very, very short phrases, and basically the theory behind her teaching was, I'm going to show you once, you pay attention, you practice, and eventually you'll get it through your practice. Mm-hmm. And she didn't give any explanations, and if you wanted to venture off into what she called fantasy, which was one of her favorite words, when people would ask about, oh, is this a past life, or is this, are we on a path of enlightenment, or any of this, you know, she would just bring it down to the practical world by saying, practice, 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 or, you know, put your hands Reiki on, Reiki off. And out of this particular kind of teaching, what I realized she communicated also was not just the practical, but somehow she also communicated the depth and breadth of the practice. I don't know how she did it, but I know I got it, because once I started discovering the depth of the practice, i.e. my own, how it had touched my own spirituality and nourished that part of myself, I would then remember things that she would say and go, oh, right, I remember this. And that was fascinating for me. So one of the gifts that was given, a lot of my, especially my early students talked to me about, was this gift of Reiki that brought spirit into the everyday life, into each of our actions. So the principles, for instance, each decision that we make, you know, are we making it with our spirit behind it? And it's not a conscious thing. It's something that just happens every day. So I'm wondering if this is what you're meaning by not being so concentrated on, you know, setting aside time to practice Reiki, but to have it emerge in your daily activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, my understanding of Reiki mm-hmm. is once we were initiated,
yeah.
The Reiki is always flowing through us.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, to me, the Reiki that flows through me is also spirit.
Uh-huh.
It's my connection with spirit.
Uh-huh.
So having Reiki in my life, I feel like I'm always connected to spirit. So
uh-huh.
I don't need to say I need to live a spiritual life. It's
uh-huh.
I'm already hosed up. I'm already connected. and so I can just watch, you know, in the treatments, I can just watch the doings of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
Reiki and spirit.
Right. And
uh-huh.
I feel like that's the one of the core, or should I say essential, pieces of communication that my grandmother gave us without us understanding that. And
yes.
I feel like one of the things that I loved about her teaching is that you didn't have to do anything to practice Reiki, because you are already enough. And
yeah. And you're not,
you know,
the doer.
Yeah, and you're not the doer. All at the same time, which is sometimes kind of a Zen koan, or
uh-huh.
it seems like a conflict, but it's really a state of being that's really beautiful, where Junko last week talked about non-doership, And yeah. I'm wondering, because I know that you listened to the interview last week, did you have some stories about non-doership that you wanted to share?
Yes, I do. as Junko was talking about it, I was recalled to several treatment experiences that I had about non-doership and watching that this actually happening. One was I'm a former school teacher, and I was at school, and this school teacher was complaining about her ears ringing and how she was going to lose her sense of hearing in one of her ears due to a viral infection.
Oh, my
and
God.
And so I asked her, would you like me to rake your ears? And so she said, sure. So we just sat there in the library, and I started raking her ears, and particularly her head, doing the head positions. And she sat there for about 5 minutes, and she says, oh, Rosie, she says, my toes, she says, my big toe is just aching. And I thought, well, here I am doing her ears. You know, why are her toes aching? And I remember in learning about Reiki that Reiki will go to the root cause, mm-hmm. not to the place where the surface pain,
right.
but
mm-hmm.
will go to the root cause. So my thought was, okay, here it goes, to the root cause, her toes. Consequently, that night she had a sleepless night because her big toe really hurt. But making a long story short, in the end, in a month later, her ringing was gone, her hearing was back, and she was healed
Know,
of this ear situation. And so that's when I thought, boy, you know, I'm really just a hose.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to her ears. And
right.
you never know where Reiki will take, you know, the healing energy to.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, okay, I'm not the door.
Right.
So I reminded over and over again how I truly am not the door.
Uh-huh.
And so another story is I was raking a patient, a client who had cerebral palsy,
mm-hmm.
and she was paralyzed, and she still is. And so I used to go to her apartment and give her treatments. And this is like the third week I was going over. And so we started the regular full treatment. And as soon as I put my hands on her abdomen, she burst out in tears. And she cried through the entire treatment, apologizing why she just couldn't stop. And so then again, after that experience, I thought, okay, here we go again. You think you're going there to help her with her physical condition. And it went straight to her emotional body,
uh-huh.
which probably needed the healing the most at that time.
Right.
And so you never know. Every time I put my hands on someone, it's like, okay, let's have fun. Where is it going this time? Because I'm truly not the doer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a vehicle. So, you know, as far as non-doership, I don't have any conflict with that. I don't put my intentions or I don't put my expectations or diagnosis or anything. I just leave my hands there. And like your grandmother said, Reiki on. You know, put your hands there, Reiki on, take it off, Reiki off. And
mm-hmm.
so it's truly, I understand her words, but it's very clear to me
mm-hmm.
that Reiki is the doer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you for those stories. They're wonderful. yeah, it's great. And I was just, So one of the things that is fascinating for me about what I consider to be a teaching that I received through my connection with the Buddhist services that I went to in Hawaii from when I was a really little girl whenever we would visit there, is that there is a sense that as human beings, we're not the doers. And that there is and understanding of that, and yet we are not nothing. Somehow, I think the Buddhist teaching that I've received that gets really mixed up with my own Christian, you know, that's when I was a little girl, that's mostly the church I went to was a congregational church, but all these things kind of got mixed up together in me. this sense of a human being not being the doer, basically, mm-hmm. but also that a human being is in and of him or herself worthy.
Yes.
And there's kind of no talk about sin or mm-hmm. good and bad or evil and good. It's more like about peace and happiness and gratitude.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes, and in the larger sense, that is true. Gratitude is such a big part of our teachings,
uh-huh.
And it's the sense that we do live a very human life. We do live with our ego. We live this daily, every moment, and yet, in our teachings, we believe that we are saved.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And so with this kind of feeling, you cannot help but feel gratitude. Gratitude that as even in our defilements as humans, we are still being saved.
Mm-hmm. And what does saved mean in this context?
Well, we believe that we're always connected with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is where we always are. You know, some of the great masters or spiritual leaders these days, not these days, have always said, you know, like Deepak Chopra or Eckhart Tolle or these people, that all life is Maya. All life is a delusion
mm-hmm.
as we see it, as we live it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, even living this kind of life of delusion and of not being there, this isn't our real life. That our real life
right.
is really spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or our real selves are really spirit. And so in this sense, as we live this human life, then we will still go back to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm communicating this correctly, but and this is not particularly a Buddhist point of view.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you talk to a typical Buddhist, they may really be strictly giving you the Buddhist or the Buddha's teachings.
Uh-huh.
I've come away from that, you know, although I've grown up as a Buddhist. And so my thinking is a little bit different from, you know, everybody else, or
uh-huh.
you know, everybody's thinking is different, I mean.
Right.
Yeah,
and what,
everybody's
what,
path is different.
What's fascinating, I think, and what has come through very strongly in all of the interviews in the last 3 months has been this most amazing thing, I feel, when I was a child, anyway, where I was, people were either Buddhist or Christians or Jewish or Catholic or something.
Uh-huh.
And the belief systems didn't mingle very much. And
uh-huh.
often religious tenets or rules of conduct and so on were kind of the basis of that person's ethical understanding of themselves. And now, if I may say, I'm going to be 60 this year, shocking. Now, it's so typical that we have so much available to us that people are mixing and matching, if I may say, so not in a bad way, but in a way that really allows us to come to our own individual mix, so to
speak, yes.
and arrive at our own individual understanding, ethical understanding, which I'm fascinated with, and I feel that Reiki really puts us into a place of understanding what is me and what is not me.
Because for me, Reiki is brings balance in my life. You know, it brings it. You know, I need my four bodies here to bring it into balance. And when I'm coming from a balanced place, that's the kind of life I can live.
And you talk about your four bodies, and could you be more specific?
Oh, well, you know, we have the physical body with all of our five senses that we are most familiar with. Then we have our mental body and our emotional body and our spiritual body. Yeah, so, you know, Reiki helps me to bring all of my bodies into balance. And when all of my bodies are in balance, then I can, that's where I can function from the, my best.
And what's really beautiful for me in the sense of the practice of Reiki and spirit is that it nourishes all these different parts of ourselves so that we are in balance and we don't let one part of us take over the other. Well, it's again time for our commercial break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to The Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network. The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today from Hawaii, Rosemary Goto, and we've been touching on something called non-doership, which is a great term. And one of the things that I wanted to go back to in the very beginning of her story is that she said that her parents would practice Reiki on her, and yet she didn't learn it until 10 years ago. And I assume because she has grown children that she's not 20 years old, but perhaps a bit older than that. So one of the things that I feel that gets really, it's interesting because as human beings, our enthusiasm for something that we enjoy and we find a benefit to ourselves, we often want everyone around us to do. But it intrigues me that Alan's parents, your husband's parents, and your parents didn't say, okay, kids, you know, tomorrow we're all going to do a Reiki class. And you didn't also do that with your own children. So there's this kind of non-doership that I'm interested in kind of connecting these two things, because I feel like this is very unusual in the Reiki world. Mostly people come to me and say, you know, I love Reiki and it's so beneficial, but my kids don't want to do it, and how can I get them to do Reiki? And this is a great question for me, and I'm looking for perfecting my response. Well, I don't know if you have any hints, but I'm interested. That's a kind of facetious thing to say, but I'm really interested in the more deep part of that, which is this perhaps a trust that when it's right for you, you'll come to it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what happened for me. I truly believe, especially with children, that modeling is more important than talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or showing or telling. That if you just live your life that way and you just do it, they're watching, they're listening, and when they're ready, it will appear in their lives. That I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and Reiki is so great that, you know, it's not something that it will come back into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. So mm-hmm. modeling to me is really the best way. And, you know, I didn't go out of my way to model that, but I just lived it. I just did it. I just followed myself with Reiki, and I guess they were watching and listening, and eventually they're asking for long-distance treatments while they're in school in the mainland.
And so wonderful.
So, yeah, so I thought, oh, they want Reiki. And eventually the time came, and from their side, they were willing and ready. And so that's how it all unfolded for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So I think you just have to be patient and just, like your grandmother said, just do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, it's been really a wonderful conversation, and I love this phrase, a wakey ray of life, mainly because for me it brings up this very beautiful quality of a kind of practice that isn't about taking time out of your daily life and having like a little holy hour where you only do those things that are spiritual and then the rest of your life goes on, but more imbuing or integrating spirit and this way of being in your everyday life. So a Reiki way of life seems like what you've been able to achieve in these last years.
Mm-hmm. And you've said it very, very well. You've encapsulated it very well. And yes. If that's the way you can go, it's the easiest way. It's the most natural way
mm-hmm.
to do it.
And would you then say that Reiki is a spiritual practice for you?
Well, see, it's still not a practice.
Uh huh.
No, it's just
good for you. I love it. You're very consistent, Rosemary.
It's just the way it is, and that's the way I live my life.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a special thing. I better do my Reiki now. You know, it's always there.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
It's the greatest support one can have in their life.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Rosemary, thank you so much for being on the air today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And sharing with us your Reiki way of life and how it is in your family. And I appreciate all your family members for being on the program energetically. And also for this sense of history, you know, sometimes I realize that I feel a little disconnected from my own history, and people call it back to me all the time, oh, it must have been wonderful for you that your grandmother practiced Reiki, but it was very much like what you describe, you know, she didn't talk about Reiki, she didn't say the word. I didn't even know what she did. I just knew that she did this weird thing that every once in a while I had to submit to sometimes when I was hurt. And it always felt good, or I had to treat her, but it wasn't something that she talked about. She did it. And it was a part of her natural response to who I was and to who she was in relationship with me.
Yes. That's why my parents never said I'm Reiki trained or made a deal about it. They just did it.
Right, right. And I feel that there is something very profound in this way of being. And I would really encourage listeners to have this place where Reiki doesn't become some kind of thing that you put on like a coat, but it becomes a part of you, and to trust that everything that you do then comes out of this part of who you are that's called Reiki.
Well said.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, Rosemary, I'm going to say goodbye to you. Don't hang up.
Okay.
But we just have a couple of more minutes for the show, and I'd like to just complete this piece for my audience, for myself. So this is the last interview of the series of Reiki and spirituality. it's a wonderful place to end with all these wonderful interviews and to end up in a place where, you know, Reiki really becomes a part of who you are and a part of you as spirit. And, of course, then it is spiritual. It can be a spiritual practice. Excuse me, if this is how you put it. But for me, there's another part of our understanding where what we say and how we express it can become more a part of who we are in ourselves. So start to integrate that piece and know that there's a profound sense of understanding when you don't have to name it, but you actually are it. Thank you very much for coming and listening today. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.
Network.